You're listening to me, your lovable host, L. Rod, here on The Rod Echols Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
It is I, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great Granite State of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still, live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is, August number 20 in the year of our Lord, 2018. Be on the lookout, because school is back in a lot of places in the country. And some places went back to school last week, which I think is a bit early. Some places are going back to school this week and next week. So be on the lookout for the little children running around that aren't going to, because, you know, the first few days of school, there's a little bit of back-to-school excitement and a little bit of back-to-school anxiety and a little bit of back-to-school, I hate school because it's so damn early. Can't blame them. But they're not up to speed at paying attention to what's going on around them. So you've got to pay attention for them. So be extra careful. Give yourself a little bit of extra time when you're going to work over these next couple of weeks, because school buses are going to be out and you're going to get behind one. So you're going to need to be a bit more patient out there. As school kids, and a lot of times kids, they don't really pay attention to what's going on around them. You know, kids will have a dickens of a time just screwing off and fooling around because they aren't paying attention to what the bus is holding up traffic. And the kids don't know this. They don't pay attention to it. If they do know, it's just the way it is. So you got to give yourself a little bit of extra time. If you're going to work in the morning, try leaving the house an extra 10 minutes early. You might find that it's a good thing for you. You'll find you'll miss the buses together, all together. And, you know, you'll maybe that extra 10 minutes, 10 minutes earlier, will avoid a lot of the headaches that you normally run into during your traffic commute. Well, then I'll get to work too early. Yeah, I heard that from somebody once. Man, I can't stand this traffic. And we tell them, hey, you know what? You know, we traveled the same road, basically. And I found out that if I just left 15 minutes early, I missed all that. Well, then I get to work too early, man. So you get to work a little bit earlier, but in a good mood, versus being late half the time because of traffic and being in a miserable mood. God forbid you get here a little bit early. I know, it's just terrible. If you need that extra 15 minutes of sleep, there's something wrong. That means you're not going to bed early enough then. Pretty simple. Just if you want to avoid, sometimes all it takes to avoid something that is unpleasant, and that unpleasantness can make one tired, believe it or not. Try a little bit of joy. Maybe that 15 minutes early would give you such joy that you would have energy that you wouldn't need that extra 15 minutes of sleep every night. I'll just say some people are amazed at just changing their perspective, just tweaking it just a tiny bit, has a huge impact on their life. Yeah, now look, I'm not one of those, you know, those Anthony Robbins type of you know, gurus running around out there. I got one in my Instagram. I had to stop following this guy on Instagram. Here's a, like a 22-year-old kid out there trying to explain life to people. I'm like, yeah, boy, please. Well, you have to remain, and he's a foreigner. I think he's Swiss. You know, you remain positive and you always think of this and think of things like this. And I'm like, son, you're like 22 years old. You haven't even begun to live life yet. And you're out there trying to tell people and make money off of people. And there are going to be some idiots that pay him too. Make money off of people trying to be a positive and trying to tell people how to be positive. You haven't experienced Jack yet. Seriously. But hey, he's trying to do something positive and trying to offer something positive. So I will give him kudos for that. But you know, these self-help guru people out there, I mean, they don't fall for a lot of their garbage. Who was the love, not Dr. Ruth Westheimer. There was another one. I think she was part black. So she was part of African American, and she was out giving, what was her name? But she would give marital advice. And then, I don't know how people didn't know this, but then it was found out and made public that she was on her third marriage. Now, how the hell is somebody who can't stay married to their own husband going to give marital advice to other people? I know. Was it Johnson? Was her name Johnson? I don't. And, well, Dr. Ruth Westheimer from people, yeah, if you're old enough, you know who Dr. Ruth was. she's a sex therapist. I didn't even know that there was such a thing until Dr. Ruth came along. Sex. And well, she opened up the conversation to people to having conversations about sex, as uncomfortable as that was for the vast majority of people. She made it a little bit more comfortable. And I remember, you know, she was on Oprah Winfrey once, and Oprah asked her if she practiced half of what she preached, and she said, no, I have a lovely sex life with my husband, but we don't do all of that stuff, no. We're not comfortable with it. So that's what I talk about, as Dr. Ruth would say. You have to be comfortable in your own shoes, in your own skin, in your own sexuality, to do what it feels good. If it feels good and it is not harmful, then do it. And you need to talk to your partner about this type of thing. She was a trip, this tiny little woman. Anyway, Beverly D'Angelo, I think that was her name. Giving marital advice to people and come to find out she was like on her third marriage. Itchy bonbon, please. Seriously. So, I mean, the Swiss kid who's on Instagram, I started following because I follow a lot of people on Instagram because of their nature photography. I love seeing that kind of thing. And he, you know, he took some great shots of Switzerland, obviously, because, you know, he's Swiss. And, you know, of course, now Instagram has this stupid stories thing. Well, he's constantly on the Instagram stories and, you know, talking, you know, and he's got some beautiful shots of Switzerland. But I think the other day I just had enough of his, you know, self-help guru type of stuff. I'm like, please, you know, your pictures aren't worth that now. I have to sit through this stuff. Not going to happen. Who is it? Somebody was looking over my... I was showing him to some... Who was it I was showing over the weekend? Like, yeah, you know, I'm following this kid from Switzerland. He's this self-help guru now. I think he's like 22 or 23. He mentioned his age at one point, and I just sort of passed over it. But watch this. And they looked. They were watching him. It was a couple of, you know, I was out having drinks with a couple of ladies, and they looked at me and they go, "Okay, yeah, the photography is great when he's actually showing the Swiss countryside, but he's not all that cute." And I'm thinking, well, what has that got to do with what he's saying? But anyway, so they didn't, I guess they wouldn't follow him because, you know, they don't even find him physically attractive, let alone verbally attractive. They agreed with me that he was a know-nothing. He was an idiot. Simply, not because he was uneducated, but simply he had no life experience that he could relate to. So it becomes very difficult to try to get people who are literally twice your age, who are only in their 40s, and these are, you know, people in their midlife, hitting midlife, late 30s, early 40s. These are the people that start to get in on this. That's the mass market of getting people hooked on self-help. Now, here you have this kid who's literally half their age. You're trying to tell them how to get through life's terriblenesses, and he hasn't experienced anything yet. He doesn't know anything via experience. I mean, there are some things in life you can learn in a book, yes. But then there are some things, even after you learn it in the book, you still don't know anything. You've got to experience it. Because what may look good on paper doesn't actually equate to real life. That happens a lot. And you don't know that it doesn't equate to real life until you get out there and try it and do it and live it. And I'm sorry, but for most people, the age of 22 is not a life full of life experience. Now, there are some that have. I mean, you get into the, you get in the military, especially, and you're in combat at 18, 19 years old. Well, that's a life experience that is going to shape you the rest of your life. That's a lot of people who are three times that age have never experienced that, so they're never going to know. But for the vast majority of people who are just civilians and stay civilians, at 22, they don't know anything because they haven't experienced anything. That's just the truth. They could be some literally well-educated, well-thought-out, thoughtful people. They don't have to be liberal or conservative. Doesn't matter what their politics are. They could have gotten actually a real good education. But the lack of real experience shows. And so there isn't much that they can talk about with others when it comes to that sort of thing. I'm just saying. I just couldn't deal with having to listen to him try to BS his way through some of his own little Instagram postings, because all I think he's doing is just regurgitating what he reads. Because, I've read a lot of that stuff. I've read Anthony Robbins. I've read, this person, that. A lot of these people. It's all a bunch of gobbledygook BS nonsense. Now, I'm not saying everything that Anthony Robbins, Tony Robbins has said is BS. Some of it has some practical use to it. But a lot of it is, a lot of these self-help gurus are just spouting off BS. And you'd be surprised what their own personal, how much of a mess their own personal lives are. It's like Beverly DeAngelis. Yeah, I think that's her name. You're giving marital advice to people on how to stay married. And she's like on her third marriage. I don't think she knows how to stay married then. People have asked me, what would you do in order to have a long marriage? And I often tell people, look, I can tell you how to stay married for, 12, 15 years because that's as far as I got. Couldn't tell you. I can tell you how to screw it up too. But I couldn't tell you how to stay married for 25 years because I haven't done it. I couldn't tell you how to make, $10 million because I haven't done it. Oh, of course, you got a lot of people out there trying to tell you, you can make $100 million. Have you made $100 million? No. And how the hell do you know how to make $100 million? You don't. You have theory. You have conjecture. But you don't know how to do it because you haven't done it. Well, I know how to do it. Then do it and come back to me then and tell me how you did it. When I look at people on how to and follow people on how to make money, I look at these people who already made a hell of a lot of money, and they're trying to tell me and show me a pattern how they got to where they got to. I don't listen to people who write a book and they actually got money because they wrote a book about making money. I don't listen to those people. Therefore, I can't listen to this 22-year-old Swiss kid, talk about life when he hasn't experienced any life yet. Just saying. Same thing. You can't listen to a person tell you how to have a marriage for 50 years, and they're on their third marriage, and neither one of them's lasted more than 10 years. Yeah, no, give me a break. But people buy this stuff. It's terrible. They get scammed. By the way, being scammed, did you know, here's a story from last week, Hot Air says that you can turn off the tracking on your phone, but Google is still tracking you. Another story here talking about, because people always talk about apps. Well, if they don't have an app, then, you know, because I'm telling people to get on Gab, but they don't have an app. Like, you don't need an app. It's one extra step, I think, basically, versus having an app. But they don't have an app, not because they didn't develop one, but because Apple and Google have banned Gab.ai's app. Because Gab.ai is filled with nothing but hate speech, according to Apple and Google, which is a bunch of BS, but okay. So they can't get their app out there. Well, they don't have an app, but do you realize how bad apps are? Another story. Apps. Many apps are filled with items or cookies that run in the background that track you. I have often asked, why does an app that doesn't have photographs on it, why do they need access to your photo file? You, by accepting this app and using this app, you agree to, you know, giving us access to this, your photo file. Like, wait, hold on, back up. There are no photos on this app whatsoever. Why the hell do you need to have access to my photos? Why do you need to have access to my camera on my phone? If I can't post any photos in this app or with this app at all, why do they need access to stuff that has nothing to do with their app? That's every single freaking app, folks. Go down the list of the things that they say that they're going to get access to on your phone. Half of that crap, they don't even have available for use on their app. And yet they want access to it. And you people, some of you people out there crying that they don't have an app. You just willy-nilly want to give up all your information, don't you? And there are a lot of people out there, can I call you? Why don't you give me your cell phone? I don't give you my information because too many of you out there are too idiotic. You leave all this stuff on your phone and you have a ton of different apps that take all this information. And next thing you know, I'm the one getting spam phone calls. I don't put my information out there. But I'm getting phone calls. You know, hey, we've learned or understood that you might be interested in this, or this. I never gave you that clue because I never gave you my phone number. How the hell do you get my phone? They get your phone number because, according to this story, because of people having apps and having and giving them access to your phone book. So I'm in other people's phone books. They run around and have certain apps that get into their phone book, get my number, and then call me. It's probably happening to you too. So no, you don't need an app. I do not put apps in my phone. In fact, a few apps that I still haven't, I was just doing it the other day, getting rid of some apps that I don't absolutely do not need. The only apps I have on my phone at the moment are Instagram, because it's basically, that's all it is an app. Hard to Instagram without an app. I have iHeartRadio. I have the map program, Waze, and Uber. That's it. I got rid of every other app. I don't even have Pinterest as an app on my phone anymore. I don't have apps. One, they take up too much space, data space. Well, that's why these phones have a... Well, you know what? Now I got even more room to take pictures. And store pictures on my phone. I have to worry about downloading them all the time. And I don't have to worry about anybody tracking me. Well, At least that's what I thought until this story came out. You can turn off the tracking on your phone, but Google is still tracking you. Yes, after people began getting a bit antsy about how their phones were tracking their every move for the past several years, Google felt a need to respond. After all, their formal motto was about not being evil, and you need to give the customer what they want. It boiled down to a few basic bullet points. Google has new tools that let you easily turn off everything it logs about you. You can turn off location history, Google search results, YouTube search logs, and more. Keep in mind these changes. This changes how Google personalizes things for you. However, so some people may want to leave it on for convenience. They even publish a step-by-step guide that Google does. It is as easy as pie, so question asked and answered, right? You're good to go, so you thought. Just one small problem, according to this Hot Air article. They didn't tell you that even if you follow all those steps, chances are you have apps on your phone that turn them back on anyway, and Google continues to collect and store that information. What did I tell you about apps? Because your app has given you, you've given that app permission to get all that stuff that you just told Google to turn off. And guess what the app does? Well, the app says, well, I have permission to turn it on. And sometimes you can't use the app unless you do, maps, Waze. I have to turn on, location. I have to turn on the GPS in order for Waze to work. It will not work unless I don't. It will not automatically turn it on for me. I have to turn it on. And when I turn it on, every other app that might use GPS gets that information. You see how diabolical this stuff is? You think, well, just don't use the map. Well, then you can't use a map, period. You can't use Google Maps. You can't use any map, app or not, unless you've got your GPS on your phone turned on. That's fine. But why do apps that don't need the GPS have access to it? You still want to use apps? Just use the phone browser. You know how you can make something similar to an app is you favorite it. Just have a list of favorites. It takes you got to push an extra button or two to get to the place that you want to go. Ooh wee. You spend all of an extra 2 seconds. But I tell you what, you're saving yourself a lot of headaches down the road. You're saving space on your phone for more important things. And you're saving yourself the trouble of having to turn things on and off, because all you got to do is worry about what the browser is doing, not what the app is doing, because you don't have the app. And by the way, when it comes to getting online into your particular place that you want to go, did you know, according to some cybersecurity people out there, it's more secure to go through a browser to get to your site than it is an app. If your bank has an app, never use it. If you're banking, never use an app for banking. Because every other app has access to the information that your banking app does. That's the way apps work. Go through your phone's browser. I don't care if it's Internet Explorer, if it's Firefox, if it's Chrome, doesn't matter. Go through your browser. It is more secure and it's safer. You may have to take an extra step or two, but it's safer. Never. And this is what I've been told. Never use your banking app. And I just see people, it's got to have an app. You're an idiot. Get over it. Get past it. Forget the app. The app is more harmful, is doing you more harm than good. You have been warned.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Welcome back. There are a lot of things that are, I guess you could say they're app-like, but they're not apps, and they actually don't have anything to do with your phone. But they do have to do with tracking you. And this is a brave new world that we're in now, and some people are having real fits about this kind of stuff because they're saying, Mark of the Beast, Book of Revelation, Mark of the Beast. And now, of course, I brought you stories in the past about people being, you know, implanted with RFID chips, but they've usually been a foreign company. Mostly they've been Northern European companies. Countries that have allowed this, you know, like in Norway and Sweden have done this. But now, evidently, there is an American company embedding microchips in its employees, and they say the employees love it. Now, last August of 2017, 50 employees at Three Square Market got RFID chips implanted in their hands. Now 80 employees have them. And the first thing I think of every single time that some company says, well, this is going to make things easier, you're going to be able to just wave your hand, I'm saying BS, not going to do it. Because why? Because that RFID chip can be tracked anywhere, anytime. And you can't turn it off. These people don't realize this. You could turn off the GPS on your phone. You cannot turn off the GPS on an RFID chip that's implanted in your hand or your head or your leg or wherever you want to put it. I'm sorry, but you know what? Unless it's absolutely necessary for health, like you're replacing a knee because your knees have worn out and, you know, you get the titanium knees put in. Oh, I get that. Fine. But otherwise, you do not put foreign objects in your body that way. Sorry. You know, people want to get, well, what about piercings, Rod? Earrings are okay. There are certain body piercings that just should not be. What is it called? Like the Prince Albert and Jacob's Ladder? Do people know what those? You know, well, everybody knows what a Prince Albert is. I don't know why it's called a Prince Albert. You know what a Jacob's Ladder is? Now, at least this is what I've told it's been called, a Jacob's Ladder. Now, a Jacob's Ladder is only, I don't think, women can't get this. Now, women can get a Prince Albert, so to speak, I guess. I don't think they call it a Prince Albert on women. If you don't know what it is, look it up. But a Jacob's ladder, let me just say it is, well, for a male, there is a scrotum and a taint, right? Women don't have a scrotum, they just have the taint. Well, a Jacob's ladder is a series of piercings where they use a, you know, bar, they call them bars. Yeah, just a bar. And it could be one up to five piercings in that area. Yeah, kind of making it like a ladder, rungs of a ladder. Now you know. That just, I don't know who the hell would mutilate themselves to do that. That's just absolutely insane. Not to mention, that's a very sensitive part of the body. Now, I don't know how the hell you do that. Because that's, well, how would you know? Well, I do have a body piercing, and it's nowhere near the nether region down there. And it was painful. And it cured me from ever wanting to get anything else pierced ever again. Well, just say it was, you know, dating a lady who was far younger than I was at the time. Sort of a lark. She encouraged. I went along. And, yeah, it's called, well, it's, believe it or not, I know people don't know this because you can't see it. But I remember my mother saying it just once, saying, "What is that? Remember that girl you told me I should date, even though I had a problem with her being so young, and you said it was okay?" Well, that's the result. Nipple piercing. Just one. Yes, I can admit that. I was, you know, there's a point you do crazy things for people that you think that you like or love, and especially when you're trying to stay hip and with it, that's when I realized that there's just no possible way. I have nothing in common with somebody that young anymore. It's just, I can't do that anymore. It's going to drive me insane. Nice girl. She was a nice girl. Very, you know, gorgeous girl too, but, age difference for me bugged that. I don't think it bugged her, but it bugged the hell out of me. So I was being discriminatory because of her age. Evidently she was not. But any case, yeah, so that's what the Jacob's ladder thing is, just so you know. But we, you know, well, no, I was, you know, how old was I at the time? I don't know, I was about 38, 39. She was like 22, 23. So, yeah, it happens. But in any case, this company, I would never do this. I would not encourage other people to do it either. Now, Three Market Square is saying that the first person on the Three Market Square payroll to get the embedded chip was the CEO. And the story is about Patrick McMullen when he wants a diet Dr. Pepper while he's at work. He pays for it with a wave of his hand. Why? Because McMullen has a microchip implanted between his thumb and forefinger, and the vending machine immediately deducts money from his account. At his office, he's one of dozens of employees who have been doing likewise for about a year now. McMullen is the president of Three Square Market, a technology company that provides self-service mini markets to hospitals, hotels, and company break rooms. Last August, he became one of roughly 50 employees at his headquarters in River Falls, Wisconsin, who volunteered to have a chip injected into their hand. Now, this is a company that does what? Vending machines? Guess what they're going to start telling companies? You know, it'll be easier for your employees to be injected with a chip in order to buy their stuff from our vending machines. And pretty soon we're going to cut out the whole, you know, alternative methods of payment, because it's just too difficult to handle change and cash. And those stupid, you know, I don't, these embedded chip cards that we now have to have. You know, everybody's got them. You go just about everywhere. You know, you're forced to put in the chip. And I often, well, why do we still have the magnetic strips on the chips? And I found out why. Because those damn chips go bad quite often. And you cannot complete a purchase with the chip. You have to swipe the magnetic strip like you used to. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this safer? How is this more secure? I've got I don't even know how the chips can malfunction. But they do. They malfunction, and then you got to use the magnetic strip. But you got to keep trying to use the. Now I know this firsthand because a chip on one of my cards went bad. And so you got to try it three times before it tells you, "Oh, please swipe." Well, duh! I could have swiped it after the first time. But this is the way they're being forced. This is government now, folks. Government getting in the way. I want to tell you, I haven't gone into a single place that I usually go to. And I haven't been there and had any of them say that they like the chip cards. They all hate it. Everywhere I've gone, they all hate it. But it is mandated. It's the law. And, there's one day when my chip first started going bad. It was red in one place, but not another place. And I was getting frustrated. And the person said, you know what? I get like 30 people a day who have bad chips. Said, well, you think maybe it's your terminal? He says, no, this is our second terminal. It's not the terminal. It's people's chips. I thought they were supposed to be more secure. No, and the reality is they take longer. Even when they're working, they take longer than swiping. It's an amazing thing. We're supposed to be able to do things, you know, faster and quicker and safer. Uh-uh. Chips have gone the opposite way. Why? Because somebody in the industry out there got a hold of our congressmen and senators and told them this would be a damn good idea if we write this law for you to pass to force everybody to use these damn chips. It's a dumb thing. But you don't have a choice. Most financial institutions that issue, you know, debit cards or credit cards have to have a chip in them. Which means that most places of business that accept credit cards and debit cards have to accept the chip. It's an amazing thing. Now, I find it funny that the one place that only lets you the chip malfunction once before you have to swipe is at a government store. Yes, the New Hampshire State Liquor Store. Now, my chip just worked at the grocery store. This one particular, one chip worked fine. Like, okay, well, it's working fine. Then I go over to the liquor store. Oh, because I wanted to, they had some wine on sale. Tried the chip, stuck it in there, malfunction. And I went to put the chip back in, and she goes, no, you got to swipe it now. Like, what? Yeah, here it's only once. I know other places you got to try it three times, but here you try it once, doesn't work, you swipe. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why the hell is everybody else forced to do it three times before you swipe? And here at the government store, owned store, I only have to do it once. Anybody else have that issue? Have they noticed that? Government doesn't follow its own freaking rules. Well, granted, it's a state liquor store, not the federal government, but still, it's government. All the private companies out there have got to put up with this nonsense of forcing their customers to go through this process at least three times before they can use an alternative method. You go into a government store, that doesn't work first time, screw it, just try the alternative method. What happens if your RFID chip goes bad on you? What happens? You try to pay for it. There is no alternative method. what if you're a sports fanatic and you damage it? I mean, you could do that. You could bang your hand or something. What happens? Or it could just go bad. Just malfunction. You know, we've all had stuff that just malfunctions for no apparent reason. You know, you never do anything to it. It's always sitting on your desk, you know, kind of like the laptop that you never take anywhere. You just all of a sudden one day decide to screw up and go bad, and you're like, what the hell? It happens. So what happens if that implanted, embedded RFID chip goes bad? Well, now you got to go to the doctor and have it dug out of your hand. And in the meantime, there's no alternative swipe method. Is there? No, there's not. By the way, for those people who are into this Google Pay, Apple Pay, Samsung Pay thing, have you noticed that the commercials have died down on using that? Why? Because they began running into problems with it. Just so you know, I don't use that stuff either. Well, that's the way things are going. Not anytime soon, they're not. The advertisements for these things have gone to almost zero. Not because they've got as many people as they think that they want to have that's going to adopt this thing. No, because they're running into problems. Especially Apple, who's now given in to the government of China into doing certain things for them to be able to have their own servers and to do business over in China. Well, that includes Apple Pay, folks. And do you think Apple is going to want to have a bunch of American information sitting on Chinese servers? Well, no. I mean, Tim Cook is not that dumb. He's trying to build a wall between the stuff that's going to be in China and the rest of the world, but it's not going to work very well. I can guarantee damn to you, because the Chinese aren't stupid. There's some smart people working in various IT departments in China. Cook knows this. And let me tell you who else knows this. Google, because Google has also agreed to let China on Google's Chinese servers to do all kinds of manipulation on the Google servers. Again, the reason why they're backing off on this stuff, not because it's not good technology, but because they themselves see the problems that are coming ahead. And if you are using this garbage right now, you might be running into a big problem in the near future. I would suggest you get used to not using it once again. I won't use that stuff. The Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, won't use it. Again, all these electronic means, the more convenient they seem to get, the more vulnerable the user seems to get. And all the while, they keep telling us, oh, this is more secure, more secure. Really? That's what you said about these damn chips. And we are supposed to be able to, hey, you know, the big thing was people could read magnetic strips by passing by you or close to you with some sort of device. Well, the chips would stop that. Really? Because every card still has to have a magnetic strip on it. And why does every card still have to have a magnetic strip on it? Because these chips are known to fail far too often. Not to mention, the chips are actually easier because there's a signal. More than the magnetic strip, there's more of a signal coming off this chip. The chips are actually easier to read with the right equipment than your magnetic strip is. And in some of these wallets that claim that they can cover up your magnetic strip so people can't accidentally read your magnetic strip, doesn't work for the chip because it's a different type of signal. Yeah, did you know that? Yeah. So the reality is we were sold a bill of goods telling us, hey, the chip's going to be faster, safer. And it's neither. Just saying. So again, you want one of those stupid RFID things put in your hand? What if it goes bad? And the RFID chip is about definitely wireless communication. It has to read the signal to whoever the device it is that's reading it, right? How are you going to cover up your hand when you're not using it? Can you say data breach, data stolen all the time? You don't think criminals are going to figure that one out pretty damn quick? You're walking down the street. You know, a criminal doesn't have to be there. All they got to do is just put up some sort of little bar somewhere on some wall or light post. You're not even going to see. You're going to pass by it. Your chip is going to beep, beep, beep. And there you go. All your information is now stolen. I am not kidding, because this stuff is, similar stuff is already happening. You know, we used to be told, look out for fake strip readers. Remember those clone things? You know, they check to make sure, especially at gas stations, make sure that if it looks a little weird from the other, you know, pay strip things at the gas station, check to see if this thing is a real one. Because it may be a clone, it may be sitting on top of the real one, and while you're swiping to pay for your gas, you're also swiping and giving your information away. Remember those things? We're always, even at some ATMs had these things. There were even some places where the ATMs were actually, you know, they would dish out cash, but the whole purpose of it was to steal your ID. Yeah, there were ATMs that were doing that. But so now they're not even going to have to do that. They're just, you know, put up these little RFID reading devices out in the street. You won't even know. You won't have to go up to anything. You just pass by it, and there you go. Information. So is this stuff safer? I don't think so. I'm not buying it, because I've already experienced the stuff that's supposed to be safer, and it's not. That's supposed to be faster, and it's not. That's supposed to be more reliable, and it's not. With my chip card, I can take it to the bank or call the credit card company and say, this thing isn't working, send me a new one. With an embedded chip, you got to go to the doctor and say, dig this thing out of my hand. And then not only do you got to go through the pain of having it dug out of your hand, you got to go through the pain of having a new one injected in you. Yeah, just not going to accept it, folks. How about you? Twitter. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. I don't know if he did it on purpose or not. I cannot say. Honestly, I cannot honestly say in this particular case. I don't know if this was a slip of the tongue, if it was a faux pas, if it was just in the heat of the moment. I don't know if he's going to try to walk it back or not. But let's just go there, shall we? Jack Dorsey, the CEO and co-founder of Twitter, says, I fully admit our bias is more left-leaning. Well, we already know that, but why would this guy slip up did he slip up? I don't know. I really, in this particular case, you know, I could usually, you know, vet out people and give you a decent reason why, but in this particular case, it's too nefarious. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey said on last Saturday, that he fully admits that Twitter employees share a largely left-leaning bias after facing accusations that conservatives are discriminated against on a social media platform. And how is it that these people tend to be left-leaning that they hire? Because that's what they're seeking out. You know, remember when people used to, you know, potential employers used to try to tell people that they had to give them their Facebook password so they could check their Facebook pages? Remember that? What do you think that was about? Well, it was about trying to see who you really were and what your politics were. If you had any political leanings, what were they? Your potential employer, or at least one of the people that was going to be in charge of hiring you or not, wanted to know. Do you think maybe that's what happened over at Twitter? They ask him, now I haven't heard any Twitter employee come out and say, yeah, you know, they asked me about my politics. I'm sure that they have other ways of determining whether or not you're left-leaning or right-leaning without coming out and, hey, are you a Democrat or Republican? They don't need to ask you that to figure it out. So in an interview aired Saturday on CNN, maybe Dorsey figured that he could admit this on CNN because nobody would watch it. Nobody would see it because nobody watches CNN, especially on a Saturday. Who's going to watch CNN on a Saturday, right? Well, anyway, he said that his company has a responsibility to be open about its political viewpoints, but to operate without bias when applying content policies to users. Well, that's failed miserably. If that's been your goal, Jack, then you failed miserably. I can't, folks. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. We'll continue with Jack just after this.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. This leads to the killing of more than 9,000 by the end of today. But with one simple choice, you can help. Just by deciding to adopt instead of purchase your next pet. Animal shelters are full of amazing pets looking for a home. When you adopt your new best friend, not only are you saving a life, you're taking a stand against puppy mills. When your friends see the smart choice and impact you've made, they adopt their next pet and share with five of their friends, who share with five more. Before long, thousands get involved. Pet stores stop selling dogs from puppy mills, and even more lives are saved. And with your help, we can save them all. Visit bestfriends.org/puppymills to learn more.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders. And now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late, we stay informed, we invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.